Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Avraham Shor. Maseches Moed Katan has been dedicated to Le'iloi Nishmas, Peril Bas Reb Yehoshua Heschel HaKohen.
Moed Katan Daf Yud Zayin. The Gemara says, Amar Reb Yosef, Tzuvah Merabonin Ovid Dino Lenafshei. A Tzuvah Merabonin, a Talmud Chacham, a young Talmud Chacham, is allowed to do a din on his own behalf, B'milsa de Psikale, in something that he's sure that he's right. Now, Alpi Pashtus, what we're referring to is that he's allowed to do a din for himself in money matters. And all of the Mefarshim ask the obvious question, which is that we paskin lahalacha based on the sugya in Bava Kamma and Perek HaMiniach, starting Chav Zayin of Beis, and in Shulchan Aruch, Hashemishpat, Simen Dalet, that Ovid Inish Dino Lenafshei, as long as a person is sure that he's right, he's allowed to do a din on his own. So what's the special chiddush over here that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to be Ovid Dino Lenafshei? So the Ritva and the Muki Yosef answer that here there's a special chiddush that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to do a Dino Lenafshei, even though we already know that other people are allowed to be Ovid Dino Lenafshei. Because a Talmud Chacham has a special halacha that is mechuyev, that is masoy umatana should be benachas im habriyas. When he does dealings in money matters with others, he has to be extra careful to act in a pleasant manner towards others in order that there shouldn't be a chilul Hashem. Therefore, there would be a havamina that even though everybody else is allowed to be Ovid, Dino Lenafshei, but not a Talmud Chacham. So the Aragamar is mechadish that even so, a Talmud Chacham is allowed to be Ovid, Dino Lenafshei. Another teretz, the Nemuk Yosef brings down, Meshem Yesh Mefarshim, that here we're talking about putting his friend into a nidui. We're not discussing the regular din of Ovid Inish Dino Lenafshei. We're talking about the fact that if the person doesn't do the right thing, he's allowed to put him into a nidui until he pays him back the money that he owes him. Another teretz can be found in the Shittas of Yehuda ben Berechia, that usually the halacha that Ovid Inish Dino Lenafshei, that we say by a regular person, even though he's allowed to go and take money from somebody else, but that doesn't pater him from going afterwards to a bezdin if his friend is tevea him. However, a tzurva merabanan, when he is of a dinal nafshei, it has the toikif, it has the validity of a bezdin. And it says, if he was yotza mi bezdin, zakai, and therefore he doesn't have to go to another bezdin if his friend is tevea him. So it comes out that we have three terutzim to the question of what is different between the din of a tzurva merabanan and a regular person who's ovid dino lenafshei. Either a tzurva merabanan is different because there's a chiddush that he doesn't have to act differently than other people. Other people, we know they can be ovid dino lenafshei, but he has to make sure that he makes a nice impression on people, and yet we still give him the right to be ovid dino lenafshei. The Muki Yosef understands that the special din over here is legabe nidui, and the Rehuda ben Berechia understands that his din lenafshei has the toikif of a regular din, and he doesn't have to go to a bezdin afterwards. The Gemara continues, Zahut Suver Merabonon, to have a son of Shmu'ani. There was a young Talmud Chacham that there unfortunately were rumors about him going around that he was doing not good things, which has a connotation of something to do with Gilui Arayos. Amar Rav Yehuda, Sir Yehuda said, Heichi Lavid, what should we do? L'shamtei, if we put him into a cherem, Tzrichi L'Rabbanan, that's no good because the other Chachamim need him because he's their teacher, he's their rabbi, teaches them Torah. Loy l'shamte, not to put him to a cheirim, kam mischil shema d'shmaya, it's going to be a chil Hashem. And he answered, Amar le l'rabba barachana, Rabbi Yehuda said to Rabbi Barachana, midi shmi alach b'ha. Did you hear anything about this? Amar le, achim Rabbi Yochanan, maydech siv ki sifse koyen yishmru das, v'toyru yivak shem ipiu, ki malach Hashem tzvok isu. We're talking about learning a Torah from a Kohen. Why does it refer to the Kohen as Malach Hashem Tzvokis? The answer is, if the Rav is Doima to a Malach Hashem, then you should learn Torah from him. And therefore, Shamte Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda did put him into a Nidui. What does it mean that the Rav has to be Doima to Malach Hashem Tzvokis? According to Rabbeinu Bechaya in his Akdama to Parshas Vayakel, being doima l'malach Hashem tzvokis means that since a person is made up of two parts, the seichel and the guf, if the person is misgaber with his seichel over the chilek haguf, then he's like a malach. And the Talmud has to view the Rav as being somebody who is fully misgaber over his chilek haguf. And part of the reason for this is because the Talmud has to have the hargosha that what the Rav is doing and what the Rav is teaching is not for his own personal gain or benefit at all. And that's what a malach is. Since he doesn't have the chelik haguf, he doesn't have any self-interests. He's a malach, he's a shliach of Hashem. Reb Tzadik HaKoyin and Resisei Laila in Piska Lamed Dalid also explains that malach is miloshin shliach, but he explains that the Talmud has to view the Rav as being a direct shliach, ish mi pi ish, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. If he could look at the Rav and say that he's a shliach, meaning he's part of the mesoira of all of the doiris, then the vakshu torah mi piu. In the Sefer Bris Avram, he says a very innovative pshat. He says, how could the Gemara say, Marav doimik malach Hashem tzvokas? Does everybody know what a malach looks like? Besides the fact that it doesn't even specify which malach. There are many types of malachim. Some malachim are considered negative forces. So how do we know what it means when it says, Marav doimik malach Hashem tzvokas? He explains that Chazal tell us that a child, whilst he's bimei imai, while he's in his mother's womb, there's a malach that Jesus Shem kol ha-Torah kula. He sits there and he learns all of Torah. The reason why he's capable of learning Torah while he's b'mei imoy is because the baby at that point is an neshama b'li guf. He's not connected to a world that's gashmi. And since Torah is totally seichel ha-nivdal, it has nothing to do with this finite world, the baby at that point is able to understand the soides ha-Torah. However, the moment he comes into this world, and he's connected to a guf, it says, Ba malach besoitri al piv, the malach actually causes him to forget the Torah that he learned, because as soon as he becomes connected to the Olam HaGashmi, he forgets that Torah. Now, one can ask, what exactly is the point of teaching him Kol HaTorah Kula while he's Mei Imoy, if he's going to make him forget it anyway? The answer to that is that even though, on a conscious level, the child forgets Kol HaTorah Kula, but somewhere deep within the recesses of his neshama, he does know all of that Torah. And the person's job throughout his lifetime is to regain the Torah that he learned b'mei imoy. This is what we mean when we daven the same chelkenu b'sarasecha. Everybody has their own chelik in Torah. What is that chelik that he has in Torah that he's davening for? What he asks Hashem, give me my chelik in Torah. He's asking for that specific, unique chelik in Torah that it belongs to his neshama. And that was the Torah that the Malach taught him b'mei imoy. Because every neshama has its own connection to Torah, and every neshama has its own specific type of chedushei Torah. As Reb Tzadik HaKoyin says throughout his forum that Yisrael is the Osius Yesh Shishim Riboy Osius L'Toyra, because each member of Klal Yisrael's Mechuvin can neged another one of the Osius in the Torah. So that's the idea that the Malach teaches him Kol HaTorah Kula, even though he's going to forget it. Says the Bris Avram, Im Arav Doimik HaMalach Hashem Tzvokas, we asked, how does the person know what a Malach looks like and which Malach are we referring to? The answer is that sometimes during a person's lifetime, he hears Torah from a Rav, and he very strongly identifies with that Torah. He says, that Torah seems familiar. I remember this Torah. And the reason why that Torah seems familiar is because there was a Malach that taught him Torah b'mei imoy, and that is his chelik in Torah, which he has on some subconscious level. If the Rav is doima to that Malach, the person hears Torah from a Rebbe and he says, wait a minute, I could tell that this is my chelik in Torah. This person is like the Malach that taught me the Torah while I was in my mother's womb. Then Yavaksha Torah Mipiu, because he sees that that Rebbe is talking to his neshama. Not every Rebbe is made for every Talmud. But if the Talmud feels that the Rav is teaching him the Torah that is his Torah, then he should be Mevakish Torah Mipiu. There's an interesting tshuva from the Igros Moshe, in Chiluk Yerideya, Chiluk Beisim, and Kuf Ches. There he's discussing a person who has a job in a conservative shul. Is it mutter to appoint such a person to give a shir in front of Balabatim and Halacha and Agada and to Darshan in a basic knesses of Shomer Torah? And Moshe writes in his tshuva that he should not be given the opportunity to give this shir. And even if his job in the conservative shul is not a religious position, he has another job. Let's say it's an administrative position. It doesn't make a difference. His rayas from the Gemara Kedushin Daf Chaf Mabez, over there, there's a Tanna Dvar B'Shmol that calls somebody who sells himself to be a choitiv etzem, a chopper of wood, or a shayiv mayim, somebody who draws water for Avodah Zarah, is called a koimer, a priest. Because no matter what, he's helping out the cause. of the Avodah Zarah. So to this person, he's helping out the conservative shul on some level. And says Rav Moshe, since that's the status that we consider him, our Gemara over here in Ma'at Katan, says Rav Moshe, is a raya that when a person is not considered a good person, you don't learn Torah from him. That, of course, is the Psak Halacha. Besides the fact, he says that it could very easily affect the Torah that he says. In the Sefer Bad Kodesh, in Moyadim, Amud Resh Yud, he explains that this Isser, to be Mevakish Torah, from a Rav who is not Hagen, involves two dinim, two separate halachas. One din is an Isser to learn from such a Rav in order that people should be not Nimshach after that Rav and learn from him. He says, as far as that Isser is concerned, there's a difference between Gedolim and Ketanim. People are Gedolim who know to be Nizer from being Nimshach after that person, and Ketanim that do not necessarily have the Havchana to be Nizer from learning things that they're not supposed to from that person. As you see in the Gemara in Chagiga, Daf Tesvav Med Beis. So that's one halacha. The other din, he says, is a din in terms of the gather of Limud Torah from a Rav. The way that Torah is supposed to be transmitted is from a Rav to a Talmud. When the Rav is not Hagen, then you're lacking the proper Tzura of Mesiras HaTorah. So aside from the chashash that you're going to learn the wrong thing from him, there's also lacking in terms of how you're learning the Torah itself from him. Even if he tells you things that you didn't know before, it's not considered as if you're learning Torah from a Rav, because he's not worthy to be a Rav. It's considered as if you found some information by reading it or through other means. And that's why he says that over here Rabbi Yehuda was mesupik. Perhaps gedolim, people who know how to be nizer from this person, it's possible to allow them to continue learning from him, and therefore we shouldn't put him into a nidui. And that the Gemara says that even so, even if they know how to be nizer from learning from him the wrong things, they're still lacking in terms of the proper tzura of Mesiras HaTorah from a Rav. The Gemara continues and it says, L'soif ichlash of Yehuda. Rav Yehuda eventually got sick. Asu Rabbanu l'shiyule bei, the Chacham came to be mevaker chayle, v'asu ihu nami ba'adayu. And this Talmud Chacham, that he was menadeh, also came to be mevaker chayle. Now the Ran says that of course, when he went to be mevaker chayle, he had to have stood 4 amas away from Rav Yehuda. Now there's a tshuva from the Maril. And Shal's tshuva's Maril, Simen Kuf Tzadik Zayin. He wants to prove from this Gemara that a person is allowed to be mevaker chayla, someone who is his enemy. We're not choshish that maybe by being mevaker chayla it looks like he's happy that he's sick. However, the Daki Moshe in the Yerodeh Simen Shin Lamed Hey, Ois Aleph, he disagrees with Maril. He doesn't agree with any of the rayas that he brings, and he says, therefore, Sheval Tai Sa'adiv, better don't be mevaker chayla. The Gemara relates the story about the Shifcha Shel Beis Rebbe, who saw a certain person hitting his son, who was a gadol. And she said that he should be in a nidui because he's being over the Isser of Lifnei Iver Lesitein Michshol. There is an interesting shaila in the Achroinim concerning the Isser of Lifnei Iver Lesitein Michshol, and they bring a raya from our Gemara. This is in the Sefer Yad Malachi, Ois Shin Samach Zayin, and the Pri Yitzchak Chelik Beis, Simen Memtes, and the Chazanish, Yeredeya, Simen Samach Beis, Sifkot and Chofhei. Their shaila is, what is the halacha if a person puts a michshel in front of an iver, but the iver doesn't end up being nichshel in that michshel? The example would be if somebody who hits his benoy ha-gadol and the ben is not nichshel. He doesn't hit him back, rather he's mekabel, the hakah that the father hits him ba'ava. Do we say that the person was over and lifnei iver anyway because he did the act of placing the michshel in front of him or not? And to paraphrase the shaila, we can ask, what is the gedder of the isser? Is the isser the nesinas hamichshel, like the words lifnei iver lo sitein michshel, or is the isser not to be machshil the iver? And if the person doesn't end up being machshil him, he wasn't over the isser. So they bring a raya from our Gemara because the Shifcha of Beis Rebbe put this man into a nidui the moment she saw him hitting his benoy ha-gadol. Now why didn't she wait to see if the ben hit him back or not? Must be that the father was over on Lifnei Iver as soon as he put the michshel there, as soon as he hit him. However, the Pri Yitzchak says that you're not over the Isser of Lifnei Iver unless there was actually a michshel in the end. And he says there's no raya from our Gemara, because even if a michshel did not happen, and the father wasn't over lifnei iver, it still was wrong for him to hit the son, and deserved to be put into a nidoy for that alone. Because he put himself into a matziv of suffik, that maybe they'll be over on lifnei iver. The Mishnah told us, v'hanazir v'hametzoyra metumasei l'tarosoy, that a nazir and a metzoyra are of the people that are allowed to be megaleach during Chol HaMoed. The Gemara asks a shayla, ba'minei Rab Yirmiyah Rab Zera, b'shaloi hayo lehem p'nai, aydilma af b'shahoy lehem p'nai. Are we talking about a case in which the nazir and the metzoyra didn't have a chance to be megaleach before Yom Tif, because they didn't end their tumah before Yom Tif? Or, aydilma af b'shahoy lehem p'nai. Are we talking about where they did have a chance to be megaleach before Yom Tif? Amalei tanina kol elu sha'amru mutar megaleach b'mayid b'shaloi hayo lehem p'nai. Aval hayo lehem p'nai asurim. Nazir mitzayra afal p'shahoy lehem p'nai mutarim. Nazir and mitzayra are special. All of the other people, we only are mat to them to be megaleach on Chol HaMoed when they didn't have a chance. A person who's b'mayid didn't say yam yitzim b'es asurim. The whole heter is because he didn't have a chance before moyid to be megaleach. These people are special. It's even if they had a chance, they're still mutarim to be megaleach on Chol HaMoed, and the reason is shalayashu karbonei sehem. What exactly is the nesinus tam of shalayashu karbonei sehem? And this does machlokes rishonim. Rashi understands that the fact that what's at stake is being masha their karbonis, Chazal weren't as machmer on them, because we don't want them to be masha their karbonis more. So whereas we can afford to give a knas to all the other people, that's only because the only thing that's going to happen is that they won't be megaleach. These people, they're going to do something that we don't want them to do. They're going to be mashed or karbonis. Mutiv l'kariv z'man hakrov v'loy la'achar. So the knas that Chazal would want to make is something that they don't feel justified in making. However, the Rebbein Yechiel understands that shelo yashu karbonis sehen means something totally different. It means that a Nazir and Metzora, they themselves are not interested in being Masha their Kurbanis, and therefore there's no reason to create the Knas. The reason why we make a Knas by everybody else is because we want to deter people from waiting until Yom Tif and not being Galeach before Yom Tif. But we're confident that a Nazir and Metzora, given the opportunity, would never be Masha their Kurbanis. They'd rather bring their Kurbanis as soon as possible so that they can be Metire themselves. The Gemara then brings a Braisa. Tana, HaKoyen v'ha'ovel mutarim b'giluach. Not only are Nazir and Metzora allowed to be megaleach, but a Koyen and an Ovel is also allowed to be megaleach on Chol HaMoed. They are people that could not have done the giluach before Chol HaMoed. Says the Gemara, Hai Ovel hechi dami. What exactly is the case of the Ovel that was incapable of being megaleach before Yom Tif, but could be megaleach now? Now, before explaining the Gemara, we have to make the following point clear. As we all know, a regel cuts avelus short. Because there's a mitzvah of simchas a regel, so you cannot have avelus during a regel. Now the way that works is that whatever stage the person is at during his avelus, when the regel comes, the regel manages to override that stage of avelus. So suppose a person was in the middle of his shiva, the regel, the Yom Tif, comes and stops the shiva, and he no longer has to be noyig the rest of the shiva. If the person was already finished his shiva, and he already began the nihug of shloishim, and then he encounters a regel, the regel stops the shloishim short. So that way, if a person was the first day after he got up from shiva, and then a regel came, so the regel says there's no more shloishim, and even after the regel, it will be mutter for him to be megaleach. The person during shloishim is not allowed to be megaleach, but the regel is mevatel din shloishim. Now, since this person, the regel is mevatel from him, the din shloishim, there were matter even on erev Yom Tif for him to be megaleach. But this is only a person who has finished his shiva. If the person did not yet finish his shiva, then the regel is not mevatel the din shloishim from him. It's only mevatel the din shiva. So that's how the Gemara knows that the person over here we're talking about, when we say that Ovel is allowed to be megaleach during Chol HaMoed, cannot be a person who was still Tochime Shiva when the regel came, because that person is still Aser B'Giluach. We're obviously talking about somebody who already finished his Nihug of Shiva and is already in the bracket of Shloishim. Now, one more piece of information. We all know that there's Machloikis Abashol and the Chachamim, is brought down later in the Yud Tes Mem Beis, whether we say Mitzvos Yom Kekuloi Legabe, the end of your Shiva, or not. We, of course, Paskin like Abashol, so a person gets up from Shiva after being noyig the beginning of the day with the Dine Shiva. He does not have to complete the seventh day because we say Mixas Yom Kikuloi. So as soon as he's finished being noyig the Shiva in the beginning of the day, he now enters the bracket of Yimei HaShloshim. So according to Abba Shol, if the seventh day was Erev Yom Tiv, then he was already toich the Shloshim, and the Regel will be Mevatel Din Shloshim from him. Masha'en Kein, according to the Rabbanan, if Erev Yom Tiv was the seventh day, then the Regel will not be Mevatel from him Shloshim, because he didn't start the Shloshim. The only thing that a Regel could be Mevatel is, like we explained, the Chelek of the Avelus that the person is in at the time that the Yom Tiv comes. So according to the Rabbanan, he hasn't yet reached the bracket of Shloshim, so the Regel doesn't have the koyach to be Mevatel from him the Din Shloshim. But if Erev Yom Tov was the Yom HaShmini, then the Regel could be Mevatel the Din Shloshim, and that's what happens. Because Yom Shmini, he already started the Nihug of the Shloshim. So now the Gemara wants to know, Hai Avel Hechi Dami. What could we possibly mean when we say that we're talking about an Avel who has the right to be Megaleach, but didn't yet get the opportunity to be Megaleach on Erev Yom Tov? Ilema Shechal Shmini Shalei Be'Erev Regel. According to the Rabbanan, in order to be Mutter to be Megaleach, of course, like we said, the Shmini has to be on Erev Yom Tov. That way, the Shloshim gets cut short. But if the person already was Nichlis into the Yom HaShmini on Erev Regel, so then he Boilu Geluche Be'Erev Regel. As we explained before, once the Regel has the koyach to be mevatel from him, the Din Shloshim, the halach is that he's allowed to be megalech on Erev Yom Tov as well. So why didn't the person do the giluch on Erev Yom Tov? So the Gemara says we have a very simple solution. Elik Shechal Shemini Shaloi Lies B'Shabbos. And that was Erev HaRegel. In other words, Erev Yom Tov was a Shabbos, and it was the eighth day of the person's Niyug Avelus. And so the first possible opportunity that put him into the Yimei HaShloshim, which is, according to the Rabbanan, Yom HaShmini, it was Shabbos, so he wasn't capable of being Galech. The Gemara says that still is not going to help me, because still, Iboile Legeluche Erev Shabbos, he should have been Megalech on Erev Shabbos. Why is that? We just explained that, according to the Rabbanan, we don't say Mixas Yom Kikuloi, so the first opportunity that this person had to be Megalech was on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, that's not true. The Amar of Chista, Amar Avina Bar Shila, Halachika Abashol. Number one, the halacha is like Abba Shol that we do say Mixas Yom Kikuloi. Since we say Mixas Yom Kikuloi, so really the person could have been Galeach on Erev Shabbos. Because Erev Shabbos is Yom Shvi'i, and according to Abba Shol, the Yom Shvi'i ends his Shiva and begins the Yom Shloshim. So just like Lefi the Rabbanan, on the Yom HaShmini, when it's Erev Yom Tov, you have the right to be Galeach L'Kavod HaRegel, even though it's not yet really the end of his Shloshim. What ends his Shloshim is the Regel itself. But since the Regel ends his Shloshim, we say, L'chvoid HaRegel is allowed to be Megaleach. So too, according to Abba Shol, the end of his Shiva, the beginning of his Shloshim, takes place on the Yom HaShvi'i. So the same halacha would be true. You'd be allowed to be Megaleach on Erev Shabbos. And says the Gemara, Umoidim Chachamim L'Abba Shol, B'Shachal Shmini Shalo Elias B'Shabbos, Erev HaRegel, Shemuter L'Galeach B'Erev Shabbos. Even if you were to tell me that our mission is going according to the Rabbanan, it still doesn't help you, because in such a scenario where Erev Yom Tov is Shabbos, the Chachamim would allow him to Mimgalech on his Shvi. You don't have to wait until the Shmini. Even though, according to the Rabbanan, he's still during the Yimei HaShiva. But in such a case, as the Rishonim explained, the Rabbanan are Mekel and they say Mixas Yom Kikuloi, just like Abba Shol. So the Gemara says, Lo Tzricha Shechal Shvi Shaloi Lias B'Shabbos Erev HaRegel. It's not as if Shabbos is his Yom Shmini, rather, Shabbos is the Yom HaShvi, and therefore Tana Barah, the Tana of the Braisa, that says that you're allowed to be Megalech because he didn't have a chance to be Megalech before Yom Tif, holds like Abba Shol, the Amra Mixas Yom Kikuloi, Yom Shvi Oil Lekan Lekan. So as we explained, we say Mixas Yom Kikuloi Dahainu, the day of Shvi, which is Shabbos in this case. The beginning of the day is considered the end of his Shiva, and then he already starts his Shloshim. The Regel will be Mafsik the Shloshim, so during Chol HaMoed, he'll have the opportunity to be Megalech. He has a Heter to be Megalech, and he's not a person that could have been Megalech before Yom Tov because he was an Oinus. As the Gemara says, V'kivin the Shabbos Havi Onusu. That is according to Abba Shol. So that's how the Tana of the Braisa holds. Tana Didon, our Tana, who did not include an Ovel as one of the people that is allowed to be Megalech in Chol HaMoed, Sover lo k'rabbanan. Our town holds like the Rabbanan, the Amri lo yamrinan mikzel yom kikuloi, v'akati lo shalim avelis de shiva. So in such a case, since the Yom Shvi was on Shabbos, He never, according to the Rabbanan, entered into the bracket of Shloshim. And therefore, as we explained, the regel is not mevatel from him the din Shloshim. Now, that would be the simplest way to explain the shita of the Rabbanan. And that is the way the Rashi and the Ksavyad, Talmud Rabbeinu Yechiel, learn that the reason Lefi Aratano, who holds like the Rabbanan, you're not allowed to be Megaleach during Chol HaMoed, is because the person is still Toichimei Shloshim. The only time that it's possible for the regel to get rid of the Shloshim is if the Shloshim began prior to Yom Tov. According to the Rabbanan, you didn't have that opportunity because the Erev Yom Tov, which was Shabbos, was still the Yom Shvi. So you didn't start your Shloshim before Yom Tov. However, that's not the way that Rashi, in the standard text of Rashi, explains the Shita of the Rabbanan. Rashi says, in Dibur Maschil Savar, he says, Savar ka Rabbanan da Amri le'emrinan, mikzaz ha'yom kikuloi, Ela shiva shleimim be'inan. Va'akati le'sholim avelis to shiva koidim regal. Ve'loi havi onus. He says that this person is not an onus. Da'afilu loi havi Shabbos, even if it wouldn't be Shabbos, loi motzi le'galeach, lo'hochi enum galeach b'moyed. Now, what exactly does Rashi mean? V'loi havi onus. That's not the point. Even if the person is an onus, it's Shabbos. He cannot be megalech on Shabbos. But that makes no difference, because the reason why he's not allowed to be megalech on Moed is because he's still Tochimei Shloshim. The regel wasn't successful in stopping short his hanhag of Shloshim. So that is a kasha that the Rashash asks on Rashi, as well as the Yeshuas Yaakov in Erechayim, Simitov Kuf Lamed Aleph, Sifkot and Hey. They both ask, why is it that Rashi Bechlal has to say that the reason why this person is not allowed to be Megalech according to the Tana of our Mishnah is because he's not an Oynes? Let Rashi say because he's still Toichimei HaShloshim. And they both answer that although the Regel did not cut short his Yimei HaShloshim, because the Shloshim didn't begin before the Regel, nevertheless, the Niyug of the Shloshim does not start until after the Yom Tov. Just like a person who didn't have a chance to start sitting Shiva before Yom Tov. He doesn't sit Shiva during the Regel. He has to wait until after the Regel and start being Noyig as Shiva. So the Regel didn't cut short his Shiva, but nevertheless, a person is not Noyig Avelus on Regel. Or suppose a person lost his relative on Yom Tov itself. Same thing is true. He doesn't start being Noyig the Shiva yet. Since he didn't start before the Regel, he has to be Noyig an entire Shiva, but he doesn't start that Shiva until after Yom Tov, because there's another halacha. Aside from the fact that a Regel cuts short a person who started already, the Regel also says you cannot be Noyig Avelus during Regel. And the Yeshuas Yaakov quotes a Marik. Marik is in Sherish Kufnun Beis. The Marik brings the Beis Moyed, who says, Bishita Saramba, that just like a person whose Shiva was not started before the Regel has to be Noig the entire Shiva after the Regel, so too a person who didn't have the chance to start a Shloshim before the Regel, he doesn't do the Dinei HaShloshim during the Regel, and he has to be Mashlim the Yimei HaShloshim after the Regel. The Marik actually doesn't agree to the Beis Moyed, but this is the way that Yeshuas Yaakov wants to learn Bedas Rashi. The Mekeves HaMishnah in Hilchos Yom Tov Perek Zayin Alocha Yud Ches also learns that way Bedas Rashi. They all are learning, the Rashash learns this way in Rashi as well, that even though this person didn't lose the Din Shloshim, nevertheless, the Din Shloshim is not Noyeg during the Regel itself. So this explains why Rashi doesn't say that the reason why the person is not allowed to be Megalech on Chol HaMoed is because he's Toichimei HaShloshim. Shloshim is irrelevant during the Yom Tov. However, we still have to understand, what does Rashi mean when he says that he's not an Oynes? The person is an Oynes. He didn't have a chance to do the Giluach before Yom Tov because he wasn't allowed to. Now, the Nodib Yehuda in Erechayim Adura Kama Simen Yudalid points out that it has to be that a person who was not able to be Megaleach before Yom Tov because of his Isra Avelus is not called an Oynes. He doesn't explain why he's not called an Oynes, but he proves the point. And his Raya is as follows. He says, suppose a person was Koiver his mace before Yom Tov a few days. So that means he started being Noyeg his Shiva. So we know that Yom Tov comes and is Mevatel, the Gzeres Shiva. He now does not have to complete the Shiva. Now, says the Nodib Yehuda, the person, of course, has entered the bracket of Yimei HaShloshim. Suppose the Yom Tov that this happens in is Sukkot. So during Chol HaMoed, the person is already in the bracket of Shloshim, and then Shmini Atzeres, which is a new Regel, comes. Why don't we say that Shmini Atzeres should be Mevatel from him now the Din Shloshim? Because each Regel that comes is Mevatel whatever Yimei Avelus that you're in now. So right now, since the first part of the regel got rid of the rest of his shiva, it places him into shloishim, and now there's a new yomtiv that gets rid of your shloishim. The Nebut is obviously going with the assumption that the mehas shloishim is already chal on the person, not like we just explained from the Marik and others, that the shloishim is put on hold until after yomtiv. He's going with the assumption that since the person does have isurim, like giluach, during chol hamoed, so your shloishim has already begun. So why is it that we don't say that Shmini Atzeres gets rid of your shloishim? Says the Rebbe Yehuda, the answer to that is because whatever is usher for him, machmas is avelus, is also usher midinei chol hamoed. Chol hamoed, you're also, you're not allowed to take erke, you're not allowed to do gihutz. So since without the avelus it also would be usher, it's not considered as if the person was noyeg shloishim. But wait a minute, he says. Why don't we say that even though the person has the chiyuv to refrain from doing giluach, not only because of his avelus, but also because of the din chol hamoed, why don't we say that the din chol hamoed, he doesn't have to be mekayim, because he was an oinus. Before yomtiv, he wasn't able to shave. So the fact that he's not allowed to do giluach during the week of chol hamoed cannot be because of chol hamoed, because, like we said, chol hamoed recognizes the fact you were an oinus. And therefore, the only reason why he's not allowed to do giluach during chol hamoed is because of your avelus. And then the kasha comes back, because during that week, you were noyeg your din shloishim, and then we should say that Shmini Atzeres should come and get rid of the rest of the shloishim. Must be that the iser to be megalech before yomtiv that came from his avelus is not considered an oinus that would be matir doing giluach and chol hamoed. Since it's not considered an oinus that would be matir doing giluach and chol hamoed, we're back to the fact that it's chol hamoed which is causing him not to do giluach. If it's chol hamoed that's causing him not to do giluach, we don't have the kasha that Shmini Atzeres should get rid of the rest of the shloishim. So as we said, the Rebbe Yehuda is not going with the assumption that we said bedas Rashi, that your shloishim is on hold and starts after yomtiv. He's assuming that you have isuri shloishim during chol hamoed. It's just that you also have isuri chol hamoed, and he's saying this cheshbon to explain why it was muchrach to Rashi that it's not considered an oinus, but he doesn't explain why. Why wouldn't the fact that a person who cannot do giluach before yomtiv, machmas avelus, why wouldn't that be considered an oinus? So this is Tzarich Iyun on Rebbe Yehuda. He does say this incredible cheshbon, but he doesn't give us the explanation as to why your inability to do giluach before yomtiv does not constitute an oinus. So we have to find ourselves a different explanation in the Shitas Rashi as to why it's not considered an oinus when the person was not able to do the giluach before yomtiv, machmas his avelus. So the Emek Bracha says a very innovative pshat to explain Shitas Rashi. He says that when is it that we say that when a person had an oinus, he's allowed to be megalech on chol hamoed? The examples that we have are a person, let's say, he left the Beis HaSurim, he was not capable of doing giluach before yomtiv, and now he's in a situation in which he could do giluach. The oinus went away. So chol hamoed does not tell such a person, don't do giluach, because you were an oinus, you were not able to do the giluach before yomtiv. Masha'enkin, in our case, a person who had an avelus before yomtiv, as far as the avelus itself is concerned, he shouldn't even be doing the giluach on chol hamoed, because he's still toichim me'ashloishim. Why is it that we're telling this person that he really should be doing giluach, that he's allowed to do giluach? It's the regel itself, which is saying, don't be noyig your shloishim on yomtiv. Because like we said, the fact that it's yomtiv says, put your shloishim on hold. So since it's the regel itself, which is the Sibas HaHeter, without the regel, you would not be able to do the giluach because you would be considered an avil. It would make no sense for that regel to be telling the person to do giluach. Because after all, giluach is something that be'etzem you're not allowed to do on yomtiv. You're not allowed to be migalech on chol hamoed. So for the regel to come and tell a person, stop being noeg avelus and do giluach, when the regel itself is usur b'giluach, we don't say. We would never use a regel, which intrinsically has an iser giluach, to be the siba for a heter giluach of your avelus. So the only time that we say that a person could be megalech because of an oinus is where his heter giluach doesn't come from the yomtiv itself. Then we say that the yomtiv is not going to ask you to do giluach since you were an oinus before the yomtiv. But to make the yomtiv become the siba for the heter, that we never say. That, says the Emek Bracha, is the Hesber in Shitas Rashi. So again, the reason why Rashi does not want to say like the other Rishonim we quoted, that you're not allowed to be Megaleach because you're Toichim Ash Shloshim, since your Shloshim was not cut short by the Regel. That Rashi is not comfortable with, like we explained, because you aren't Noyeg Dinei Shloshim during the Regel. The Regel says, put it on hold. However, to have the Heter of Vimgalech on Chol HaMoed because you were an Oynes, Rashi holds you cannot access that Heter, since the Heter would require Yom Tov itself telling you to be Megaleach. Yom Tov itself will not tell a person to be Megaleach, since Yom Tov Be'etzem is Aser Begiluach. Now, Tosfos over here in our sugya addresses a technical question, and that is, how can we say that the person's Shmini was Chal on Shabbos? If the Shmini was Chal on Shabbos, that means that the Kvura took place the preceding Shabbos. But we don't bury a mace on Shabbos. So how technically could that end up happening? So Tosfos says that we could be talking about a case where the Kvura was done at some point prior to that, but the person, the relative, did not hear about it until Shabbos. And the din is that once a person hears the Shmua on Shabbos about his mace, so that begins his Shiva. So the Yom Shmini could be the following Shabbos. Tosfos brings you Rishalmi that says another possibility, which is that a Chaya dragged the person away, they were nisyayish to look for him, and you start counting the Shiva from the day that they were nisyayish. The other case that the Brisa brings down is the case of a Kohen. We said that a Kohen who is nishlima mishmartoi on Yom Tov, he's allowed to be Megaleach on Yom Tov. The Gemara asks, Sai Kohen Hechi Dami, what exactly is the case? Ilema de Sholem Mishmartei Erev HaRegel, if he finished his Mishmar on Erev Yom Tov, Iboile Legluche Erev HaRegel, he should have been Megaleach on Erev Yom Tov. Now, this of course cannot mean Kipshutoi, because we know that the day that the Kahanim finish their Mishmar is always on Shabbos. That's when they switch from one Mishmar to the other. So if what we mean when we say Ilema de Sholem Mishmartei Erev HaRegel is that he finished his Mishmar actually on Erev Yom Tov, that means that Erev Yom Tov is Shabbos, then the Gemara can't mean Iboile Legluche Erev HaRegel, that he should have been Megaleach on Erev Yom Tov Mamish, because Erev Yom Tov was Shabbos. You can't be Megaleach on Shabbos. So Rashi says that what the Gemara means, Kaloimar Be'erev Shabbos Shehu Erev HaRegel. When we say Iboile Legluche Erev HaRegel, we mean that the Kohen should have been Megaleach on Erev Shabbos. Shabbos is Erev Yom Tov. He should have been Megaleach on Friday. And Rashi brings the Gemara in Daf Yudal and Aleph, that even though the halach is that Anshei Mishmar are Asurim Begiluach, it's usur for them during their time to be Megaleach, because we're afraid that they're going to come and show up to their Mishmar Minuvolim without having taken a haircut first. So we want to encourage them to take a haircut prior to their starting to serve. Nevertheless, the Anshei Mishmar is still mutter b'chamishi because of Kvayr Shabbos, and therefore b'shishi for sure. However, the Ritva learns the Gemara differently, because there is an obvious doichak in the way Rashi's learning. Rashi's learning that when the Gemara says Iboile Legluche Erev HaRegel, it doesn't mean that he should have been Galeach Erev Yom Tov, it means that he should have been Galeach Erev Yom Tov, on Erev Shabbos, and Shabbos is Erev Yom Tov. So that seems to be what's bothering the Ritva, and he learns that we're not talking about a case where Shabbos was Erev Yom Tov. We're actually talking about a case where Erev Yom Tov was Sunday. There's Shabbos, Sunday, and then Monday is Yom Tov. And so when the Gemara says, Iboile Legluche Erev HaRegel, it means that once the person's Mishmar finished on Shabbos, the next day, which is Sunday, is when he should have been Megaleach. Of course, according to the Ritva, there's also a Daichak, because when the Gemara says now, Ilema de Sholem Mishmartei Erev HaRegel, according to Rashi, it makes a lot of sense. Sholem Mishmartei Erev HaRegel means that we're talking about that Shabbos was Erev Yom Tov. That's when it was Sholem Mishmartei, because the Mishmaris are always Nishlam on Shabbos. But the Ritva is Madchik in those words, and he says, Pirish de Sholem Mishmartei Beknisas Erev HaRegel. Kigoyin Shoye Yom Echa B'Shabbos Erev HaRegel, Ushleimis HaMishmeres B'Shabbos Shalafonav. So when we say Ilema de Sholem Mishmartei Erev HaRegel, if we mean that we're talking about where his Mishmar finished on Erev HaRegel, that means that as Erev HaRegel came in, it was already finished, because the Mishmar was finished the day before. So the Ritva feels that it's easier to be madchik those words, Sholem Mishmartei Erev HaRegel, could be more easily translated as that as soon as Erev HaRegel came in, it was already Nishlam Mishmartei prior to that point, than to be madchik the words Iboile Legluche Erev HaRegel and say like Rashi that it means Erev Shabbos, which is Erev HaRegel. On Kol Panim, the Gemara's teretz is, Loi Tzricha de Sholem Mishmartei BeRegel. His Mishmar actually finished on Yom Tov. Now, as Rashi points out, over here we have to be saying that the first day of Yom Tov was no later than Thursday. Because, as we explained earlier, the person in the Mishmar, during his week of his Mishmar, he's allowed to be Megaleach starting from Yom Chamishi. So if what we mean when we say that Shabbos fell out in the middle of Yom Tov is that Erev Yom Tov was Yom Chamishi, then he would have been allowed to be Megaleach on Erev Yom Tov. Must be that Erev Yom Tov was no later than Wednesday. The first day of Yom Tov was no later than Yom Chamishi, than Thursday. The Ritva argues on Rashi here as well. The Ritva understands that Shalom Mishmarte Beregel means that his Mishmar finished by Knisas HaRegel. Shalom Mishmarte Beregel, just like before, Shalom Mishmarte Erev HaRegel meant that Shabbos was the day that preceded Erev HaRegel. Over here also, Shalom Mishmarte Beregel means that Shabbos was the day that preceded the Regel. So it comes out that Yom Tov was on Yom Rishon. It was on Sunday. Now that is a case where Erev Yom Tov you were not able to be Megaleach because it was Shabbos. But the problem is that you had the ability to be Megaleach on Friday or on Thursday. Now the Ritva actually brings down this question. He brings it down b'shem Rashi, because Rashi in the Ksav Yad learns like him and not like the Rashi that we have. And he doesn't give a teretz. He then brings Shitas HaToisfis, which we don't have, but the Shitas HaToisfis is the way that our Rashi is Mefarish. And it's not clear whether the Ritva is being choizer from his pshat or not. It does not sound like it from the way that he writes. A kopon of the Gemara uses this as an explanation as to why our Mishnah and the Braisa argue. The Braisa holds that a Kohen is allowed to be Megaleach on Chol HaMoed, and the Mishnah holds that he's not, because the Mishnah doesn't include him in the list of people that could be Megaleach on Chol HaMoed. What's the Hezron Machlokes? The Gemara explains that since the halacha is that on Yom Tovim, the Mishmarais are all equal in terms of the Karbonis that come Machmas the Yom Tov, so the Tana of our Mishnah holds that it's considered as if his Mishmar never really finished. The fact that now he still has Dinim to split in the Karbonis of the Yom Tov and the Chiluk Lechem Aponim of the Shabbos Shebesech HaRegel, we consider it as if his Mishmar continues into the Yom Tov. Since we consider it as if it's still his Mishmar, he has the same Isser as he always did, that during a Kohen's Mishmar, it's also for him to take a haircut. Now the Ritva points out, even though we know that a Kohen Gufa during his Mishmar is allowed to take a haircut if it is Erev Shabbos or Yom Chamishi, so even during Chol HaMoed, we could say that there are days, if there is a Thursday or Friday during the Chol HaMoed, he would be allowed to take a haircut. Nevertheless, we cannot include that in the list of the Mishnah, that it's mutter for them the entire Chol HaMoed. The Tana of the Braisa, on the other hand, holds that even though he has certain dinim, legabi the Karbonis HaRegel, nevertheless, it's considered like his Mishmar is over already. So it would be mutter for him on the Regel during Chol HaMoed to take a haircut. Now the Rambam in Hilchos Yom Tov, Perek Zayin, Halacha Yutes, actually paskins like the Tana of the Braisa. He says, "Va'anchei Mishmar sheshom mishmartam b'soich haMoed mutarin legaleach mipnei she'anchei Mishmar asurin legaleach b'Shabbos shalehem." And the obvious question is, why would the Rambam paskin like the Tana of the Braisa against the Tana of the Mishnah? So the Magid Mishnah explains that the Hezbar and the Rambam is that since the Braisa puts together the din of an Ovil and the din of a Kohen, and we know that the Halacha is like the Tana of the Braisa legabe the din of an Ovil. How do we know that? Because we already learned in the Gemara that the Hezbar and the Machlokes between the Tana of the Mishnah and the Tana of the Braisa legabe Ovil is whether you paskin like Abba Shol or like the Rabbanan. And we already know that the Halacha in Hilchos Ovil is like Abba Shol. So therefore, the halacha has to be like the Tana of the Braisa concerning the din of an Ovel. Memela the Rama paskin like the Braisa anyway, and he paskin like the Braisa even legabe the din of a Koyin. The Svasemis is not too happy with this because he says the halacha could be like the Tana of the Braisa legabe Ovel, because we paskin like Abba Shob. That doesn't mean necessarily that we paskin like the Tana of the Braisa legabe Koyin. The Kesef Mishnah in Hilchos Bias Mikdash Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel has the same question on the Rambam. Then how can he paskin kineged our Mishnah? He says that perhaps the Rambam understood from the fact that the Gemara brings down the Braisa and explains the Braisa that the Gemara is really siding with the Braisa. However, he then brings down the Marikurkis. The Marikurkis explains that even though our Gemara tells us that there's machloikas between the Braisa and the Mishnah, it's not as if our Mishnah says explicitly that an Avel and a Kohen do not have the right to be Megaleach on Chol HaMoed. The Braisa says explicitly that they are allowed to. The Mishnah just leaves them out. There is a rule that sometimes we say Tana V'Shir, that the Tana says a list and leaves things out of the list. It's not mukhach from the fact that the Tana omits Kohen and Avel, that the Tana's Shita is that you're not allowed to be Megaleach on Chol HaMoed. The option of Tana V'Shir always exists. Now, the Gemara didn't choose to say Tana V'Shir for various reasons. Tosfos over here in our sugya says that the reason why the Gemara doesn't answer Tana V'Shir is because since there is a machlokes between the Chacham and Abishol, Gabi Avil, it's easier for us to give the answer that they're having a machlokes than to say Tana V'Shir. Tana V'Shir is somewhat of a doichik, and since we have that machlokes anyway, Ligabi Avil, so we say that they're arguing. Once we say they're arguing Ligabi Avil, so we also say they're arguing Ligabi Kayin. But of course, there's no hechrich 100% to say that they're arguing. We could always resort to the teretz of Tana V'Shir. Because of that, the Rambam chooses to paskin like the Tana of the Braisa, who says a beferish, whereas the Tana of the Mishnah is open for interpretation. Especially since, according to the way Tosfos is learning, there's no hechrich whatsoever to say that they're arguing Ligabi Kayin. It's just that since we have something to be toiled or machlokes on Ligabi Evel, so we also say that they're arguing Ligabi Kayin. The Gemara brings a braisa. Tana Rabbanan, kishem she'amru aser legaleach b'moyed, just like they said that it's aser to take a haircut on Chol HaMoed, kach aser litol tziparnayim b'moyed. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda shita is that it's aser to cut one's nails on Chol HaMoed. The reason for this, says the Ritva, is that we don't want a person entering Yom Tov kishehu menuvel, just like the Isser, to take a haircut. You're not allowed to take a haircut on Yom Tov for that reason alone. We're worried a person's going to go into Yom Tov, like we explained already, kishehu menuvel. So the same thing holds true with nails. Reb Yossi, on the other hand, says that it's mutter. What's the reasoning behind Reb Yossi's shita? So the Ritva offers two explanations. Number one, he says that Chazal were never choishish, lefir b'yoisi, that a person is going to go into Yom Tif with long fingernails because it's very uncommon for a person to be that menuvel. It's a nivel gadol to leave his sipernayim too long. So we don't have the same chashash with regards to nails as we do with regards to hair. Furthermore, he says that since nails is something that grows every day, even if a person is makbid to cut his nails before Yom Tif, he's still going to have to cut his nails again on Yom Tif. This svara is actually the basis for the psak in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Tov Kuf Lamed Dalet, that we're matir washing the begodim of children on Chol HaMoed. Just like the din of a hand towel, the Gemara mentions, on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. Because even if a person washes it before Yom Tif, he's still going to have to wash it again during the Yom Tif. They get so constantly dirty. Now, similar machlokes, the Braisa brings down legabe the din of Avil. Kishem she'amru Avil aser legaleach b'mei evloi, kach aser litol tziparnayim b'mei evloi divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi matir. So you see that just like they argue legabe Chol HaMoed, they argue about removing the nails while one is in Avelus. Over here, the Ritva says a very interesting thing. He brings down a medrash that indicates that the machloikis, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda over here, is dependent on how to learn the pasuk that it says by Yifas Toyer. By Eishes Yifas Toyer, one of the things that a person has to do is ve'asasa es tziparneha. What does it mean, ve'asasa es tziparneha? So Rabbi Yehuda learns that what that means is that she has to grow her nails long, mishum avelus. So that serves as a makar, that avelus is a time that you're supposed to grow nails long. Masha Enkein, Rabbi Yossi, there are two options that he gives. Number one, it could be that Rabbi Yossi holds that the word of asasa siparneha does not mean to grow them long, rather it means tikkun, because we find sometimes that the word asiya denotes tikkun. Alternatively, he says that it could be that the reason why we're told that she has to grow her nails long is not because of avelus. Rather, it's in order, kedesha tisgana be'enov, in order that she should become disgraceful in his eyes. In which case, we have no makar that avelus requires growing nails long. Rabbi Yashiv writes in his Aris on Moed Kotten that it's mistaver that the same machloikas would apply to a menuda, somebody who's in a nidoy, and to a mitzoyra, and of course to a kohen who's toich yemei hamishmar. Legabe psak halacha. So it's kepaskint in Shulchan Aruch that an avil is not allowed to remove his nails using a kli, and that goes for the entire shloshim. However, using his hands or his teeth, he's allowed to even during the shiva. As far as Chol HaMoed is concerned, according to the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tov Kuf Lamed Beis, one is allowed to remove his nails in Chol HaMoed, both his fingernails, his toenails, and he's even allowed to use a kli. However, the Ramah writes that there are those that are machmer and they aser, and the minig is to be machmer not to use a kli, he should only use his hands or his teeth. Now, what is the halacha legabe in Isha who has to go to the mikveh? So legabe evil, which we said that you're not allowed to toich shloishim, take off the nails with a kli, the halacha legabe leil tvila is that she should get a non-Jewish woman to remove the excess nails using a kli, because if you use your hands or teeth, it doesn't work properly. It's not going to be a netila yafa, and there could be a chshash of a chitzitza. And Chol HaMoed, the halacha is you take it off normally with a kli.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.